Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Romans chapter 4 tonight. Romans chapter 4. Love that song, God Will Provide. Romans chapter 4, beginning a series of messages on great faith. And we'll be in Romans chapter 4 looking at the life of Abraham tonight. And really love to study the whole, and we will mention every verse in here just about, but we'll read about half or a little more than half of this chapter. It's so important. When you come into chapter 4, of course, when you get into Romans, especially in chapter 4, Paul begins a court case. And of course, the naysayers are saying, well, Abraham was justified by circumcision. You read that on down verse 9 through 12 there. And they say, well, it's by works. And Paul's going through there showing us, and just as being in court, saying, no, here's the proof, here's the case, and hear how Abraham was justified. And he lays out the case for us. And of course, we know who wins that argument, right? Paul wins that because why? The Word of God. And so as we look at it tonight, it says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? That's the most important question, isn't it? I get tired of hearing men's opinion. And let's just look and see what the Scripture says. And it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. There it is. There's Paul's opening statement on this court docket today. He says, look, here's the thing, is that what you can say what you think about how Abraham was justified, but what saith the Scripture? What saith God, in other words? And his opening statement is this, and he says that that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In verse 4 he says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now skip over to verse 13 if you will. And he goes on down there, verse 5 through 8, talks about David also being justified by faith. Gives another Old Testament character there, a king. In verse 13 he says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That's the promise. We're part of that, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Thank God for that, right? We are part of that. And he goes on down, verse 14, he says, for if they, which are of the law, be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. And 15 says, for the law worketh wrath, and where no law is, there is no transgression. If you want to think about this, you know, why was there a law? Why was the law given to the children of Israel? Just think about it this way. If there's no trespassing sign in an open field, how do you know you're not trespassing, right? But God put a trespass sign up and said, you go beyond this, you have trespassed my law. And that's what he's saying, is that the law was there to show us. And as Paul said, I had not known sin unless there was the law. And the law made sin, it was its strength, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. And he goes on down, he says in verse 16 again, he says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, amen, that's us, who is the father of us all. And it is written, I have not made thee a father of many nations. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those that which be not as they were. Who against hope, here we go, verse 18. Who against hope, here it is, believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. There it is, the word of God again. that which was spoken. That's going back to what saith the Scripture, or what saith God. He said, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What a court case. We see the opening of this, and Paul taking the stand gives the opening statement and cries out the case from the Word of God and says, look, you may have thought Abraham was justified by circumcision. You may have believed that Abraham, because of what he did and who he was, that he was justified by that. He was made righteous by that. But here we see Paul says, no, wait a minute, he was not. He was justified and he was made righteous by his faith in God, and that Jesus Christ was coming. Looking forward to the cross, that he put his faith that God was going to provide a lamb. And he did, right? God will provide. Tonight we're talking about great faith, but tonight we're going to go a step further. We're going to talk about what it says in verse 20, strong in the faith. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Lord, I certainly need your help tonight. Please clear my mind. And Lord, I pray that just for the next few moments you'd use me, Lord, as your vessel to communicate your truth to your folks. Lord, you've already preached to me. You've already given this to me. But Lord, I pray that we are up here reading your word and preaching tonight, that God, it be all glory to you, all praise to you. Lord, help us to understand these scriptures. Help us to understand being strong in the faith and what it means. And Lord, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, we love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so anyway, we get into the scripture. And again, verse 9 through verse 12, we see that it talks about circumcision in those days. And Paul basically lays out the case saying that that Abraham was actually circumcised after that he was counted righteous. In chapter 15, he was counted righteous. And then you go over to chapter 17 when he was around 99 years old is when he was circumcised. So Paul's saying, wait a minute, you have it backwards, that he was counted righteous before that act. That was, it was a result of his faith in God. What Abraham did was an act of God. And then you look at the faith that Abraham had, that he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. You're not having babies then. Everything going bye-bye. That's even what, maybe not the way he said it here, but he said that the deadness, that he considered not the deadness of his body and Sarah's womb and all these things is that God was going to have to do a miracle in order for them to have a seed. And I love the Bible because he says that he was strong in faith. Strong in faith. Last week we talked about the different degrees of faith. We talked about number one, the lowest being no faith. And by the way, that's not just for the unbeliever. We saw that last week through the disciples. Jesus told them, you have no faith. There can be times and moments in our life when we have no faith. When we say, God can't. And then the second level is little faith. Really, little faith is the faith you need to get saved. You need that faith to get saved. But also in our life, we can, and this is what little faith says, God can if it's not too much. God can if it's not too much. And then you had last week, we talked about the Canaanite woman. She had great faith. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Is that, you know, you can have great faith and not have strong faith. Because here's the thing about Abraham's life, which is different than the Canaanite woman's life. Is hers was an act of great faith. His was a life of strong faith.
You don't get strong faith by an event. You get strong faith by a numerous of events. See, the Bible says that he was strong in the faith, that God, that he had been working out his faith. He had been working out his salvation with fear and trembling. That Abraham was showing that to the world that he believed in God and that he trusted God. That's what the book of James was written for, to say, look, you can say you got faith all day, but you got to work it out. You can say, I got faith, I got faith. But faith is not us just saying we have faith. Faith is an action. Faith is a verb that we have to act out and that we have to put feet in and our faith in God and saying that God will and God can. So tonight, do you have strong faith? Have you had a record of using faith? I sure hope so. A faith that works is a faith that is seen. I want to give you three things tonight about three characteristics about strong faith. And we see it here in verses 18 and through the end of the chapter, basically. I want you to look at what happens here. And he comes into verse 19 and he says, not being weak, that being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body dead. In other words, he looked at him and said, I don't think I'm dead yet. Why? Because God said he's going to give me a seed. In other words, how can you say this? The baby maker's alive. Because why? God's alive. We can have a baby because why? Because God can. Right? It's going to be a miracle that God's going to do this. He's 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. And guess what? God's going to do a miracle. And if you're going to have strong faith, then here's the characteristic of strong faith. Is that it is one who dies to self. That is it. If you're going to have strong faith, guess what's going to have to happen? You're going to have to say no to you. You know what the problem with Michael Wiggins is? It is not the devil most of the time. We always try to say it is, right? Because that gets us it off of us. But the problem with Michael Wiggins most of the time is Michael Wiggins. It's that my flesh says no and my spirit says yes. Paul even talks about it in the book of Romans, how there's a war between those two. Between the flesh and the spirit, they war against each other. Listen, you say, well, I'm a person of faith. I love that, because if I came to you tonight and you were 70 years old and I said, guess what, y'all going to have a baby. You would laugh. Matter of fact, I think Sarah did. Right? I believe you would say, no, wait a minute, that can't happen. And guess what? Unless you die to self, and if God says you're going to have a baby, Or if God says, I want you to go to the mission field, and you say, there's no way, then you're saying yes to you and no to God. And here's what Paul is saying. He says, what saith the Scripture? What saith God? God told Abraham, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby when you're old. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. Why? Because he put his faith in God, and he died to self. I've always said this. You ever want to know what's a faith? If it don't make sense, it's usually a faith. If you can figure it out and put it on paper, it's probably you. You ever do that sometimes? Okay. All right, Lord, here's what we're going to do. I trust you, but I've already got a plan. Yeah. Right? I do that. So I mean, I do it too. I'm pointing back at myself. But here's what Abraham did. Is that he says, notice again verse 19, being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body to be dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. There it is. He says that that he was not staggering at this. Matter of fact, back up to verse 18. Who against hope believed hope, that it might be, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, shall thy seed be. In other words, God back in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13 said, Abraham, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to bless you. Now, way back then, you know, they didn't have the facilities we have today, the medical things that we had today. And guess what? They trusted God. They believed God. And what happened is that they had to die to self. Let me give you the second thing about the characteristic of faith. Not only does one die to self, But here's what happens in a characteristic of strong faith. One, that it causes one not to doubt God's word. We see that in verse 20. Notice what it says in verse 20. It says, he staggered not. That word staggered in the Greek means the word that we use today, doubt. In other words, he doubted not, or he staggered not at that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. In other words, when God came to him and said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, Abraham went, glory to God. It's going to happen. I believe Abraham went home that day and got the bassinet ready. I believe he said, honey, we got to clean out that little closet in the back there. We're going to have a baby. You know, we know that he went and had that conversation, and Sarah went, ha, ha, ha. Right? But she believed also, we know down through the scriptures there in Hebrews chapter 11, but we see that when he came to him is that Abraham not one time went, Lord, are you sure? Says he staggered not at that promise. He said, all right, I believe you. Why? Because he did not doubt God's word. If God's word said, listen, when you write that tithe check and that mission check out, just believe God. If God's told you to give $100 a week to missions, just do it. He'll take care of the rest. If God has said, hey, do this, you ever feel God just pricking your heart to do something for somebody? Just do it. Especially if it's me. And it includes food, right? Or pastor. But listen, sometimes, you know, God puts on our heart to do things, and there's things in the Scripture that are clear. There are people all over the world today whom God has called to go to the mission field, to be a pastor, to be a youth pastor, and they have not died to self, and they've doubted God's word. And they are miserable people and can't figure out what God is doing. They get this job and it don't work. They get that job and it doesn't work. And they just stood there just saying, God, I'll go. Because here's the thing. We live in a society today, and I'm guilty of it too. All right, I'll be a missionary, but I got to figure this thing out first. That's not how it works. God's already figured it out. You know how silly sometimes us not trusting God? I have a stick-it up here. If I said, how many of y'all believe Brother Crawford can take this stick-it and carry it around the room? Y'all would laugh, right? Because that's nothing to him. Right? Even if I said, hey, could you take my Bible and carry it around the room? You know, that's nothing for our pastor to do, right? But isn't it silly to say that God can't handle something? Isn't it silly that we're asking him to carry a stick-it note for us, and we're saying, well, I don't know if he can do it or not. If he can't carry this, he can't carry your salvation. Right? If he can't carry this, then he couldn't have kept this preserved. If he couldn't do that, he couldn't have prepared us a place for eternity. And we all men are most miserable. Strong faith is one who does not doubt God's word. I give you the last thing, and I believe all these kind of go together, but it causes one to be totally dependent on God. You want to see if you have strong faith? I'm going to give you a challenge. Okay? I thought about this today, and I said, Michael Wiggins, this is you, buddy. Don't tell them about it because this is you. But then the Lord said, tell y'all too. I didn't want to be by myself. Here's what we do. God tells us what to do. We say, all right, Lord, we'll do it. We go back and we sit down and we worry about it. Is that not true? Hello, somebody say amen other than me, right? Lord says, hey, I want you to do this. And you say, all right, Lord, I do it. Then you go back and you go, that's not faith. Faith is saying, I'm totally depending on God to do it. When God told Abraham, you're going to have a baby. He was totally dependent upon God to perform that. Look, if you will, verse 21. He says, and being fully persuaded. That's without doubt. That being fully persuaded is totally without doubt that which he had promised, he was able also to do what? To perform it. If you ever go into surgery, there was a commercial not too long ago. It's hilarious. And You know, if you're going into surgery and the doctor comes out, you know, and says, you know, doc, what kind of surgeon are you? Well, I'm okay. You know, just got my license reinstated. Would you be like, I'm feeling much better. That spleen can stay. Right? That gallbladder's not hurting anymore. I think we'll be all right. You know, he comes in there and, you know, he's like, well, I've never done one of these before. We'll figure it out. I got YouTube. Right? Put YouTube up there and cut here. Oh, you know, I mean, would you want a surgeon that way? But listen, if God has, God knows all, God can do all, He's all powerful, all knowing. There's nothing He can't do, there's nothing He can't perform. And if He says that He's going to do something, we ought to be fully persuaded that He is able to do that which He has promised, and that we just rest in Him and we totally depend in Him, and we release those strings to those things that we want to hold on to, and we say, yes, God can, and yes, God will. There's been times in my life where I put that string to it, right? All right, God, I'll let you have this. But I'm going to worry about it. This is not an actual Facebook post, but I'm going to give you a Facebook post. I just don't know how I will make it through the day. Just don't know if I can handle anything else. You ever see those? There are days like that. We all have those. But here's the thing. You can't, but God can. You can handle those days. You can handle what can come around the bend. But God can, and we're to put our faith and be totally dependent upon Him. When we say that God can't, we are trusting in our flesh. When we're saying God can, we're living in the Spirit. And we're totally dependent upon God. If people were as much dependent upon God as they are the government, there'd be a lot of faith. Hello? Right? Or dependent upon this thing and that thing. We're more dependent upon materialistic things. See, that's how the Jews were. The Jews were tangible people. That's why when Jesus came, He did miracles, because He knew that's how they were. Remember when Thomas came to Him, He said, unless I touch the wounds in your side, I will not believe. The Jews had to see something. Matter of fact, the Bible, Jesus told him, He says, the Jews seek a sign. Why? Because they wanted to see things happen. But faith is not seeing. Faith is believing that God can and that God will, and that we rest upon it. Strong faith. Do you have strong faith tonight? Have you had a record of having strong faith? I love this story. Most of you know this story, but I just kind of rehearse it with us again, and I'll be done tonight. George Mueller, a missionary to Bristol, England. I love this story. I'm going to read it. This is from a book. It says, the children are dressed and ready for school. He run orphanages back in those days as a missionary. But there was no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and to have them to sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. That's faith, isn't it? I love this. George knew God would provide food for the children as He always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I'll bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. Can you say that anymore? Not in California. His cart was broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought the 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. Boy, isn't that something? What faith it takes to get 300 kids at the tables and say, all right, let's give thanks. Could you imagine those kids going, did we miss something? Or maybe they had seen how strong his faith was because he had a record. And they said, Mr. George is doing it again. God's going to do it again. And I believe when they prayed, they believed because they had an example of somebody who was strong in faith. We went to a funeral today. Great things were said about Mr. Williams, and I didn't know him. I'm sure he was a great man. But I was thinking, you know what? If the Lord doesn't come and we die, we're going to have a funeral. And there's a lot that can be said at a funeral, but one of the greatest compliments you can give somebody is that they were a person of faith. That they never doubted God. Because, see, we can either have a little God or we can have a big God. And our faith determines that. And how much, and you say, well, I'm lacking in faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You're in the right place or not. I'm not perfect in faith, trust me. I tie the string onto it all the time. Lord, I'm trusting you. And then I go about to see what I can do to, just in case, right? Faith says there is no plan B. Right? Lord, could you provide? But I'm going to the bank anyway, just in case you don't. That's not strong faith. That's little faith. Let's ask God to increase our faith as the disciples did. Let's pray. Stand tonight if you would. We'll have a verse invitation here in just a moment. I'll pray and Pastor come. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, thank you that you give us the avenue of faith to trust. Lord, help us to have strong faith tonight. Lord, I pray for those that are here that have no faith. Lord, would you increase their faith for those of little faith. Lord, maybe people here having moments of great faith. Lord, we rejoice in that. But Lord, may we be people of strong faith. Lord, living in that faith and walking in that faith. Thank you tonight. I ask you to bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Bible says it's faith that overcometh the world. You want victory in your life? Faith. Faith. All right, let's sing. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey.
The Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right. Please be seated. We'll give some take prayer requests. Do be in prayer for Miss Bobby Van Fleet and her recovery. Just pray the surgery. We know the surgery went well. Now it's that the recovery goes well and that she's able to, anyway, that the surgeon worked, and she'd love to be able to come back to church. So just be in prayer. Rebecca Wright, again, the family there at the loss of her dad, and it was a very good funeral today. And what a man of faith, and he certainly.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.